This is our fourth lesson in our series on sense and nonsense about prayer. Our first lesson was just that. That was the title, Sense and Nonsense About Prayer. We looked at Luke chapter 11, the Lord's Prayer there. And then we looked the second week on sense and nonsense about prayer and unconfessed sin. And we'll just say this, it's easy. It's nonsense to try to pray with unconfessed sin. It's nonsense. Your prayers are not going anywhere. Amen. You're just wasting air. Amen. By the way, aren't you glad you can just confess and get it all straightened out? And then you can have your prayer life. Amen. And so our third lesson, which was our last lesson, was sense and nonsense about prayer and unforgiveness. And we talked about some basic things, just by way of review, that we're all in need of forgiveness, aren't we, folks? Amen. I hate to tell you this, you offended somebody today. And some of you are thinking, well, I was just home with my wife. Trust me, you offended her. Amen. You didn't brush your teeth or something. Amen. We're all in need of forgiveness, but there's something very important, especially in our relationship with God. We don't just get forgiveness because we recognize that we need it. We got to ask for it. Amen. That's exactly right. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't, poor buddy, don't you hate it when they just wake up like that? Amen. Poor little guy. Amen. So we're all in need of forgiveness. We need to ask for forgiveness. Something else very important. We must accept forgiveness. Yeah. Let me just tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, and this is important. Forgiveness is not based, and hear me on this, forgiveness is not based on how we feel. It's based on the promise of God. He said, if we confess, He is faithful. What's He faithful to do? To forgive and to cleanse. To forgive and to cleanse. So whether you say, well, I confess my sins and I forsook and I repented and I just don't feel forgiven. Please don't misunderstand me. But who cares how you feel? Who cares how you feel? Listen, of course I care how you feel. I'm your pastor. But what I mean is what Luther said. Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. I'll take God's promise that I'm forgiven versus how I feel. So we need to recognize our need for forgiveness. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to accept forgiveness. Something else. We need to recall our Lord's request for and granting of forgiveness. As He was on the cross, this first cross utterance was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to remember that. I think Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Remember, as the Lord said, forgive. Okay? We must, here you go, here's a tough one. We must extend forgiveness. That's easy until you get hurt. Huh? That's easy until somebody hurts you. Oh, we need to extend forgiveness. And then somebody hurts you and you recoil. How do you know, Pastor? I've done it. Come on, somebody say it. You can say, oh, me, if you want to. Amen. What did God say? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We must extend forgiveness. And so we talked about what unforgiveness leads to. It leads to a broken relationship and a lack of fellowship with God. Listen to me. You are not going to have an effective prayer life with unforgiveness in your heart. Just not going to happen. Amen. It leads to a barrier to effective prayer life. It's literally like a wall. Amen. I'll tell you what else it can lead to. It can lead to a bitter and hard heart. That's what unforgiveness does, folks. Leads to a bitter and hard heart. It's real hard to see the will of God with a bitter heart. Huh? Amen? hard to have an effective prayer life. And I'll tell you what else it can do. It can lead to a brother being alienated, a brother or sister. They come to you and say, please forgive me, I've wronged you. And you say, no. Listen, folks, it happens. And I'm going to tell you this, sadly, it happens in churches every week. Does brother or sister will walk up and they'll say, you know what, I'm so sorry, I've offended you, and please forgive me, I said, and people, listen, I've been in the room, I watched it take place. People stick out a hand, somebody just go like this. Listen, that person that walked away, they are not getting their prayers answered. How do you know, Pastor? The Bible says so. We have to forgive, ladies and gentlemen. And we mentioned it last week. We only have one warrant where we're allowed not to forgive, and that's if Jesus doesn't forgive us anymore. But since He does every time, you know what we're supposed to do? Forgive. Extend forgiveness. So, talking this week, back in Ephesians chapter 6, as we look at this lesson here, our context, of course, is in the armor of God. And verse number 10 there, it starts us off in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not our strength, but His strength. Amen. Thank God His grace is sufficient and His strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. And he goes on to say there, in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And boy, he does have some wiles, doesn't he, folks? The devil does. I remember years ago, I think it was my first year at Midwestern Baptist College, they used to have a youth conference out there called Cross America. And during the Cross America conference, a lot of the boys would preach. They would have a preacher boy. And it was awesome. You'd hear some great little 5-minute masterpieces. And I remember, forgive me, but this little short, fat kid, he was about 4 feet tall and about 4 feet wide. He got up there and he looked at everybody. And he first thing he did, he took his tie and he jerked it over here. Amen. And he looked at us. He said, I'm going to preach to you about watching out for the willies of the devil. Amen. I thought that was pretty good, eh? Watch out for the willies of the devil, amen? And he goes on to say, Paul, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he tells us to put on the armor, the whole armor, amen? And of course, he describes each piece, and listen, entire sermons have been preached on each piece of the armor. I want you to, if you would, though, get down there to verse number 18. Verse 18 says, praying always. Boy, if we just stopped there, we could all hit the altar, couldn't we? Praying always. With all prayer and supplication, how? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. We looked back over at Jude verse 20. Let me just quote it to you there. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I believe in these two verses is contained, ladies and gentlemen, the great secret to successful prayer. And I don't know about you, I desire to not just pray. You've got needs, you want your pastor to pray about, absolutely. But you know what? I want to be successful in prayer. Not that so I can have a badge up in heaven that says I was a successful prayer warrior. Oh, no, no. So listen, people have needs. God has a will that He wants to accomplish. Amen? And listen, we want to be sensitive to that. And so here it talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. Lehman Strauss, great Bible writer, he wrote this about this passage here. Superhuman part of praying in the will of God demands more than mere human reasoning. It needs the wisdom and power which only the Holy Spirit can supply. So all these superhuman needs, human wisdom and human desires can achieve human results. Amen. Amen to that. Human wisdom and human desires can achieve human results. But praying in the Spirit produces divine results. Look at verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. Just by way of our introduction here. It says here, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? Real prayer is spiritual warfare, isn't it? I'm telling you what. You get ready to pray. Let's just say we're getting ready to pray. Okay? The phone rings. The tree falls on the house, Miss Jane. Listen, you name it, it happens right before you're about to pray. Amen, church? You know why? Because there's a spiritual warfare going on. The devil knows when you go to your knees, things happen. Amen? God's hand move. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 12. I want you to notice an interesting passage of Scripture, and I believe it applies here to prayer. Matthew chapter 12, we'll come back to Ephesians there in a moment. We're going to jump around our Bible a little bit tonight. Matthew chapter 12, and look down at verse number 24, and I'm just going to start reading Matthew chapter 12. And you remember this story. It said, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts. By the way, if you want to ever write down little notes in your Bible, that's a good spot right there to put deity. Because only God knows thoughts. Amen. Then it says, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? He's basically pointing out the ridiculousness of their argument here. I'm not casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Why on earth would he do that? Amen. Okay, then he says in verse 27, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. I'm going to tell you, I think an application of this verse in verse number 29 is Satan is the strong man. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We can't bind him in our own strength. We can't fight him. As a matter of fact, Michael the archangel, according to Jude, verse number 9, knew how powerful he was and durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So, listen, if we're going to have an effective prayer life in this spiritual warfare, we need somebody who can bind that strong man. And it's the Holy Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, God promised power over the enemy. He promised us power to be able to bind the strong man. Prayer is a mighty weapon in our spiritual battle. Amen, church? It really is. But we must not view it as ritualistic and just duty, but rather an extension of our relationship with the sweet Holy Ghost of God, who God has given to us. His pledge, His promise. If we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost or pray in the Spirit, I've got five things that I believe the Scripture teaches. First of all, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Boy, aren't you glad for the promises of God, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you what, I mentioned on Sunday about scoffers. They're everywhere and getting bolder. I'm telling you what they are, and they can really wear you down. But boy, listen, praise God. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Never changing, amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse number 16. This great promise here from the Word of God. It says there, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, what? Dwelleth in you. Jump over probably just a page. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What is the Bible telling us here? The first thing we're going to have to know if we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost is we must know that the Holy Spirit indwells us. We must know that, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, there's a process to that. You've got your place in Ephesians there. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm so thankful God wrote this for us. God gave this to us. This process that takes place. You say, oh, how does it take place? When does it take place? It lists it right here. Thank God for it. Verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter 1. Says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's what happens first. Whether you're 5 years old in a Sunday school class, or you're 35 years old with a gospel tract, or you're 65 years old with a soul winner at your door, it starts there. We trust Christ. How does it happen? In whom also ye after you trusted, verse 13, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And again, not a matter of feeling. Though I believe if you have communion with the Holy Ghost, you will feel Him. But listen, if you're walking around saying all the time, I just don't feel saved, I just don't feel saved, I just don't feel saved. Did you trust Christ, yes or no? If you did, the Word of God says the Holy Spirit dwells in you. That's the first. If you're going to have prayer in the Spirit, you've got to know that He dwells in you. Romans 8:9 says, if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Here's a great indicator. When you get ready to do something wrong, or you come a situation that's tempting, does the Holy Spirit bother you about it? Brother Becker, I call it spiritual heartburn. You get spiritual heartburn. Never got spiritual heartburn before I got saved. Didn't bother me at all to sin. But boy, after I got saved, and I come to them tempting situations, those questionable situations, Holy Spirit says, Oh, he doesn't say it out loud. You folks know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. If we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, we must know that the Holy Spirit indwells us. Number two, not only need to know that the Holy Spirit indwells us, go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We need to know that the Holy Spirit indwells us, but if you look at Romans chapter 8, blessed verses, verses 26 and 27. Blessed verses. Three times you see the capitalized Holy Spirit of God in these two verses. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We not only must know that the Holy Spirit indwells us, but we must realize that there are times when the Holy Spirit has to help us to pray. Have you ever been so crushed or hurt? You don't have to say amen to this. I know there's a lot of amens in this room. Been so crushed or hurt that you just didn't know what to tell God? I've been there. Been there with friends. Been there with precious people in this room. Just watched you. Hold on to your faith. But absolutely no idea how to pray. Well, the Holy Ghost helps us. He helps us. Not only does He help us, the Bible says there that He helpeth our infirmity. By the way, you know what really our infirmity is in this text? We don't know what's best for us. I get a kick sometimes out of preachers that say, oh boy, the will of God is not mysterious at all. Really? How come so many people miss it? Oh, I know what they mean. I know what they mean. Listen, the will of God's not mysterious whether you should be in church or not. The will of God's not mysterious whether you should pray. The will of God's not mysterious whether you should tithe. Whether you should tithe. Amen. Whether you should give to missions. Amen. Will of God's not mysterious whether you should serve Him with your life. But boy, there are some spots that we just don't know how to pray. And the Bible says here that the Holy Spirit helpeth us. And if you look at the end of verse 27, what's the end result there? The will of God. Not that... Listen, not that prayer would be just some gimme, 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 gimme.
No.
That we would accomplish God's will. That we would be conduits for God's will. Boy, that's something. Amen. So, first of all, if we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, we need to realize that, or we need to know that the Holy Spirit indwells us. We need to realize that there are times when the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. This word helpeth here, it's only used one other time in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, when Martha said to Jesus to tell Mary to help him. It's a large Greek word, I can't even say it, amen, but it means to take hold of opposite together. To cooperate, to assist, to help. The Holy Spirit wants to help us. And He does help us. Amen? In this matter of prayer. So, we know that the Holy Spirit indwells us. We must realize there are times when the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Number three, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, verse number 30, please, church. And I'm going to wrap up here very soon. Half an hour, something like that. Amen. Just kidding. I know what time it is. Amen. I'll be on time. Amen. We're having fun in the Scriptures. Amen. Having fun tonight. It says, and grieve not, verse 30 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The third point, if we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, we must be careful not to grieve Him. Must be careful not to grieve. By the way, many times people will say, and I'm certainly for it, drunkenness grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Fleshly sins grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But ladies and gentlemen, it's always good to read the context of a passage. If you look down at verse 31, you'll see some sins that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. What are they? Well, what's it say there? Bitterness grieves God, grieves the Holy Spirit. He's too busy grieving to help you with your prayers. Amen? Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. And go down to the next verse. Unkindness would grieve Him, wouldn't it? A lack of tenderness would grieve Him. A lack of forgiveness. And by the way, you could go up. You can go above verse 30 there. Corrupt communication. Hey, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. We don't preach on these too much anymore, but listen to me. Gossip grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Griping grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Some people just, they gripe all the time. The only time they don't is when their lips aren't moving. Listen, you listen to me. Griping grieves the Spirit of God because it hurts somebody else. Somebody else listens to that and it just drags them. Gossip's even worse. Lies and deceit and all that. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I just put in my notes here, see prayer and unconfessed sin lesson. Get that? The truth is, with our lives, we all occasionally are going to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But we need to be careful about it. Why? Because we're trying to pray in the Holy Ghost. And we can't do it if we're grieving Him all the time. We mentioned it so many times. We're not going to be sinless, but we should be sinning less. Amen? Number four. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Two more points and we'll be through here. It's like that chubby dog through the barbed wire fence. A couple more points and we'll be through. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8 has a lot to say about the Spirit of God, doesn't it? Got to look up the amount of times that the capitalized Spirit is there. I've got them circled here in red, lots of them. Look at Romans 8:14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You know, if we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, number four, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, when you got saved, you got as much of the Holy Spirit as you're ever going to have. Amen? You got all of Him. The question is, does He have all of you? The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God." We go to the softball games. We go from our house over there on Grinnell in Washington. We get on West Ave and we head south and we go over to Ellis Sharp and we come to, I guess they call them out here roundabouts. We always call them rotaries, Miss Kim, amen, out where we're from. Rotaries, amen. And by the way, you get somebody that's never been on one of those, just sit there and watch them. It's hilarious. Looks like a clock, amen, just winding, amen. But you know what? You come to the roundabout, and if there's a car coming, I'm going to tell you something, you better yield. You better yield. You're supposed to yield. You know, if we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, we're going to have to yield. You know what yielding on the road does? It says the other person has the right of way. I'm going to let the other person go first. Well, we ought to have that attitude toward the Spirit of God. Amen. He's a person, by the way. He's a person. Yield. If we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, if we're going to be effective in prayer, and He's going to lead us, and we're not grieving Him, we're going to have to yield to what He wants. By the way, that's not always what we want. Many of us have had prayers where we said, "Lord God, please, please heal this person."
Yes. Yes.
God took him. Yes. Boy, He knows best, doesn't He? It's hard sometimes. Boy, it's hard when you think about things like that. But boy, let's yield to Him. Didn't Jesus yield to the Father, ladies and gentlemen? "Not my will, but Thy will be done." Lastly tonight, go back to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter number 5. If we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, and by the way, it's nonsense to not pray in the Holy Ghost, amen? But if we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, we must know that the Holy Spirit indwells us. We must realize that there are times when the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. We must be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We must yield to the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, you know it, amen, if you've been in church at all. It says there in verse number 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We must be filled with the Spirit. By the way, it's interesting in that verse, there's a negative command and a positive command. Do you know it's just as wrong for us to get drunk as it is to not be filled with the Holy Ghost? I think we'll have to give more of an account for the positive command than we will for the negative command. I don't know anybody in this room. Maybe there is. But I don't know anybody that has a real constant problem with drunkenness. But boy, how about the filling of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen? Listen, I can only speak for myself. I know many times I've not been filled with the Holy Spirit. Many times. It says there that we're to be filled. To be filled is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Just as the drunkard abandoned himself to the controlling influence of liquor, so should the Christian abandon themselves to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. My, how we need to be controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, especially in our prayer time. Let me just give you four quick applications about praying in the Holy Ghost. Invite the Holy Spirit to be part of your prayer life. When you get ready, you start to have prayer time, and I don't know how you pray. Some people do Thanksgiving. I think confession is a great way to start with prayer, just asking God to forgive. Some people start with praise, amen, any one of those three. But when you get to the point where you're getting ready to pray, and you can pray something like this, Holy Ghost, I invite you into this prayer time. Listen, I know He's there because He's with us. But boy, I tell you what, I believe He loves to be invited in. He loves to be invited. Invite Him into your prayer time. Thank Him for His help in your prayer life. Thank Him in advance for His help in your prayer life. Ask Him to lead you. Now listen, I'm glad for lists. There's a lot of prayers that don't get prayed because there's not a list. I'm glad for lists, but listen, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. You may be praying through a list, and you may be saying, I'm just going to pray through this list, pray through this list. You ask the Holy Ghost to lead you, and He brings somebody to mind that needs prayer right then and there, ladies and gentlemen. So ask Him to lead you. Thank Him for His help in your prayer life. Invite Him to be part of your prayer life. Ask Him to reveal hindrances in your prayer life. Search me, O God. Know my thoughts. That's right. See if there be any wicked way in Him. And then lastly, ask Him to take control of your prayer life. Ask Him to take, just invite Him into your prayer life. Oh, how we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. With His blessing, amen. With His power on our prayer life. Father, thank You. Lord, that